Hey, what's up, everyone? Don Tony here, and I am back once again. This time it is for the 2018 WWE Money in the Bank pay-per-view. I want to thank you very much for listening, as always. And before we go any further, just a couple of things right off the bat. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and very special happy Father's Day to my dad. If the audio sounds a little bit different, might be a little more bassy than usual, it's because I'm actually doing a show on location tonight. I'm at the parents' house. I've been here all weekend celebrating Father's Day. In fact, just a little heads up, the Monday night, June 18th edition of the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show, I will not be on. It will be Mish taking the helm with Kevin Castle. They will be giving you the news for the weekend, Raw, and a few other tidbits. Of course, they're not going to go through a full-blown pay-per-view recap because this audio will be attached to Monday's DTKC show. In fact, I apologize because about 10:15 tonight, Eastern Standard, Kev sends me an instant message. Hey, dude, you know, if you want, I could come on and do the recap, and I'm home, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, I'm on remote location. I didn't bring the laptop. You shouldn't have told me at 10:15 on a Sunday night you want to do it. Otherwise, we would have had both of us together. But I'm sure he'll give a couple little tidbits on Monday night. But again, it won't be a full-blown recap because it would be asinine to have two pay-per-view recaps on the same download, right? So I'm going to get into this as quickly as I can. Couple of things regarding the pay-per-view, and I know that this recap will be shorter than the previous recaps, and for the reason being is because the matches tonight were good. I don't think anybody really put on a piss-poor performance, even though if you ask the fans that watched tonight, they probably would say the worst match of the night was Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns. But if you actually look at the match itself, I mean, even if Roman Reigns was tremendously over with the crowd, even if Jinder Mahal was tremendously over with the crowd, and I say as, you know, positive, you know, good guy, no matter what, the match, I think, would have still told the same story. But it's funny because as the match is going on and the crowd is chanting everything you could fucking imagine and just shitting on the match, nobody, for the most part, enjoyed it. And you know, the funny thing is just because you got 2,000-3,000 fans going, ooh, whatever the fuck he does, you know, they think, oh, Roman Reigns is over. You hear the people got, no, they just want to interact. I mean, you look at the storyline with Elias versus Seth Rollins, all right? Elias could fucking crucify Seth Rollins to the cross, and everybody could be throwing garbage at Elias and fucking hating him, want to fucking murder him. If he got on the microphone right after that and said, WWE stands for, everybody would fucking go, walk with Elias. Just people like to interact. But I saw tonight Charles Robinson and others complaining about the fans, for how they treated the Roman Reigns Jinder Mahal match. I totally understand fellow wrestlers and employees and, you know, certain individuals to really defend, you know, the wrestlers and criticize the fans. But come on. Deaf, dumb, blind, brain-dead person could have told you that tonight, especially in Chicago, you're putting Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal in any fucking arena right now. Roman Reigns is not over. Yes, the kids love him. Yes, the women are into him. And there are some men that are fans of his as well. I don't rip any fans of Roman Reigns. If you like Roman Reigns, fine. I totally respect that. But when you have this bullshit that Triple H has been doing for well over a year or two now, I don't think people really take a step back and think about it. It's been a year or two since he said, well, isn't he a heel already? You know, look at the crowd reaction. Isn't he already a heel? Don't fucking play games with us. You know, whether it's Triple H or Roman Reigns or anyone else, come on. Don't insult educated, smart wrestling fans. And when I say smart, I don't mean smart marks. I mean fucking people have the IQ higher than 10. Yeah, you know what is classified as a good guy or a bad guy or a babyface or a heel. And I know some people don't like to use that terminology. But come on, when someone says heel, you know what the fuck that is. Roman Reigns is not a heel. And when they fucking play that little semantics, well, he's being booed, so he's already a heel. No, that's not. Don't fucking. You're not helping Roman Reigns in any way, shape, or form. But when you got the crowd reacting the way they did tonight, they did not want to see this match. And especially in Chicago, that hardcore crowd. I mean, it's not just because they're fans of CM Punk. Chicago reminds me a lot of Madison Square Garden. Chicago reminds me of some very special areas in the world that are really rabid fans of wrestling. And you put that fucking match on tonight. Did you expect anything else? Somebody in management in the back was fucking laughing their ass off during that match. They trolled. They knew exactly what the fuck was going to happen. So that didn't surprise me at all tonight. And you know what? I have no problem with the fans reacting the way they did. You know, you get to a point, you know, there's that old saying that madness is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. You know, yeah, in a lot of cases that does hold true. And unfortunately tonight, WWE, for anybody that really is shocked with how the fans reacted, come on, you fucking kidding me? Another thing is Nakamura versus AJ Styles. And I thought the match was great. I thought it told a very good story. It just blew me away the amount of people online that early in the match were shitting all over it. It's slow. It's mundane. It's boring. It just keep interrupting. Every time it gets a little momentum, the referee is counting to 10. And I say this with all due respect, and I don't mean to fucking say anything nasty to anybody out there, but the fuck did you think a false count anywhere match was? Every time you do a fucking move, the referee, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Come on. That's what a false count anywhere match is. You know, it sounds fun and exciting, but come on, you got to get into that mindset and understand what you're going to see. If it wasn't false count anywhere and you put a wrestler in a move and you go for a pin and the guy kicks out at 2 and then you do another move and you do another move and you do another move and you try to pin him and he kicks out and you try to do something and it's just rapid and it keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. But when you do false count anywhere, you hit one fucking move. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's what it is. I love the match. Because I knew from the beginning, last man standing, what you were going to get. I thought it told a great story. I honestly would have been fine if that match would have closed out the pay-per-view. But obviously, we got the men's Money in the Bank ladder match to close it out. I'll get into that in a little bit. I am very disappointed that Big E was not the member of New Day in this match. All right, it's funny because I remember a couple of years ago, Kofi Kingston was going to be in Money in the Bank. And I remember, I think it was the Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania. And I remember he got like one or two wins on Raw. And you started seeing people on social media, Kofi's getting a push. Oh, it's really cool. Yeah, it's about time. And yeah, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, come on. Do you really think he's getting a fucking push? They're just trying to give the aura that he could possibly win a Money in the Bank match. But really, all his purpose of being there is to, you know, look, Kofi is an outstanding performer. I will not take it away from that guy. All right, but Kofi does a memorable spot in the match. He fucking hops across the floor and he spots. But do you think there's any fucking chance in hell of him getting that briefcase for all of the times he's been in the matches in the past? He's there pretty much to make, you know, memorable moments in it. And that's cool and everything. But in my honest opinion, I have been saying this for a while. I know some people are starting to take notice, not of what I said, but they're starting to see the same thing as well. Big E's got to get a championship run. It can't just be they just blow their load all of a sudden. Hey, let's just give him a run quick. No. I think it's about time that they start building up something where Big E starts competing more in singles matches. It doesn't have to be a New Day breakup, but we need to start getting some momentum of Big E possibly becoming a heavyweight champion. I think it's time, and I just close my eyes and say to myself, you know, who really could use that briefcase more than anything as far as men go? And look, my prediction on Monday was The Miz, but I also said I would love to see Big E be the member of New Day in this match and Big E win the briefcase. and just tease it for a long time, and then he cashes in, he wins the belt. I think it would be such a fucking awesome moment. And you know what's the best thing about it? In my mind, it has nothing to do with the fact that he's black. Before everybody out there, oh, they don't put, you don't have black champions or heavyweight champions, stuff like that. You don't think Big E would be a great representative of that to be champion? So out of everybody, I wanted Big E to have that briefcase. And it didn't happen. And it's a shame. One other thing, and I know I'm giving sort of a recap right now, but number one, I'm doing this immediately after the pay-per-view ended. Number two, I'm not like other shows out there. WWE from Chicago, crowd, blah, blah. And yes, I do that too, but I'm not going to go, you know, so-and-so won so-and-so in 13 minutes and 11 seconds, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm just giving you overall thoughts. All right, there. If you want specific recap, you know, moves, go listen to somebody else. Right? Or go watch the fucking pay-per-view. Me, I'm just telling you what stuck out in my mind. Honestly, truthfully, I have no notes in front of me today. The only thing I have in front of me is the match order. And I'm basically going to give you the match. I'm going to tell you a couple of things about it and blah, 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 and the outcome. But before I even do any of that, I got to talk about Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey. And I wrote this earlier tonight, and I really meant it, and I really fucking feel bad. I feel bad for the way Nia Jax was shitted on tonight when she lost that title. Has her title run been memorable? No, not really. All right. And do people, and I actually brought this up when Carmella defeated Charlotte and won the title when she cashed in the briefcase. And I want everybody that thinks that I'm pointing this to their direction or no, I'm just saying this in general because a lot of people were doing this tonight. And it's very, very disappointing to see it. You know, because some people should know better. When someone cashes in a briefcase, it could be a fucking midget. It could be fucking Doink the Clown. It could be fucking Katie from the Special Olympics that they profiled tonight. And I'll mention, and actually, no, I want to say this now. I said this earlier, and I really want the answer to this. All right, they did a segment profiling this girl, Katie, who could bench or deadlift like 210 pounds. She's in the Special Olympics. It was a really heartfelt, very touching story. Big Show was, you know, talking to her as well. And I thought it was so awesome to have her sit front row and the Chicago fans really show love to her. And I know a lot of people, you know, feel that WWE really pushes it with the charity and stuff. It's good PR. I mean, that's number one more than anything, massive good PR on their part, without a doubt. But they did this whole entire segment today showing her, you know, deadlifting and interviewing a mother. How great is this that your daughter's in the Special Olympics and this and that. And you know what fucking really pissed me off about that segment? Never once did they ever tell us what her disability is. Nothing. Never once. They said that she was in the Special Olympics and they showed what she could do and her mother's happy and everybody's happy and they're showing love. We don't even know what a fucking disability is. I thought that was so goddamn terrible on WWE's part. All right. But I thought the segment was wonderful for her. It was awesome to see the Chicago crowd act the way they did. I think any crowd would have done that as well, but, you know, just really annoyed me. Could someone please tell me? And, yeah, I could probably do a Google search and get half my answers, but, no, I'm just making a point. You profile the fucking Special Olympics in person, at least fucking tell us why they're in the Special Olympics. What was her disability? We want to know. I want to know a story, you know. Anyway, let's get back to Nia Jackson cashing in and all this other stuff, okay? Carmella cashed in the briefcase, right? She beat Charlotte. And 99% of the people out there were pissed off that Charlotte all of a sudden is losing momentum, okay? And then she loses to Carmella twice. People have their balls in a bunch about it, all right? But yet, if you go back and you watch when Carmella cashed in the briefcase, the crowd popped big time. What does that say about Carmella? What does that say about Charlotte? What that said that night is what I've been saying for years and years and years and years and years. Fans like to pop on the element of surprise. Fans love surprises. They love the fucking unexpectedness of a cashing in of a briefcase. All right. So when I see fucking people tonight all going insane, oh, you know, Alexa Bliss, you know, good. Fuck Nia. Get that belt off her. The age of Bliss is back. And it's a, now look, for female fans of Alexa Bliss or people that are really strong fans of Alexa Bliss, fine. But when you're doing that, you're shitting all over Nia Jax and you're shitting all over this and it's that. Do you fucking remember when Alexa Bliss was champion? And she was decent on her mind. You remember This Is Your Life, Bayley? Do you remember the whole storyline leading up to Nia Jax? All right. Her getting that title, take a step back and remember the championship run she had. And Alexa Bliss has improved. All right. She did a great performance last week in that women's match. This fine. But you got to remember, she's going to feud with someone. Is she going to feud with Ronda Rousey? Is it going to be a three-way? What is it going to be? So people tonight popping at Alexa Bliss winning. Remember, you're popping at the element of surprise that someone cashed in a briefcase. You're not necessarily just popping that because Alexa Bliss got the title back. Because half of the people that I'm directing this to, you go back and you look at your tweets when Alexa Bliss was champion leading up into WrestleMania, and you yourselves were fucking complaining and saying, oh, they can't wait to get the belt off her, this and that. It's time to get the belt off her. This is bullshit to get the belt off her. It sucks. Blah, 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 blah. I wrote earlier, bravo to Nia Jax. To me, tonight's match was the best match she's ever had on the main roster. She told an awesome story with Ronda Rousey in the ring. Ronda Rousey has not had any matches on Raw. This is her second match in her career. Ronda Rousey put on a great performance tonight. Yes, a majority of the match had her selling. Yes, at some point she's trying to lock the arm bar or whatever she's the submission move she's trying to do. Nia Jax, you know, supposed to show her power to get out of it. I thought it told a great story that the minute she tried to hit the submission move on Nia, that Nia Jax tries to pin her. By doing that, you're forced to break the move. Makes sense. When Ronda's trying to do the arm submission, Nia Jax picks her up and tosses her backwards, or she lands on her head. All right? That makes sense. Things like that make sense. So tonight you had Nia Jax telling the story of a 272-pound woman. And the reason why I say 272 pounds, I don't know if anybody's picked up on this. All right, it was very noticeable tonight, but they've done this in the past as well. They don't announce the weight of any other female competitor except for Nia Jax. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But, you know, her size, they really, really told the story with tonight. And that's what they should have been doing with Nia Jax all along. They should have had her tell the story. And Nia Jax has told stories in her matches about her size and everything, but not to the level of tonight. And why? Because Nia Jax obviously was the ring general in this match. She had to lead the match because Ronda Rousey is new. And Nia Jax showed tonight that if she is the one leading the match, she could actually do it. Now, when you do it with someone that is a competitor or maybe even a better competitor than Nia Jax, it becomes an issue sometimes because Nia Jax can't sometimes dictate the story that you want to tell. You don't. I know people could say, well, you know, they should have done that with Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Really, you know, Alexa shouldn't have. But the problem is Alexa Bliss is not new. Alexa Bliss has talent. Alexa Bliss has ability. So when you put her in a ring with Nia Jax, it's very, very difficult to have Nia Jax dominate to the level she did tonight against Ronda Rousey. The story that was told in that ring tonight during that match, was it the best match of the night? No. But I thought it told the best story of all tonight. And I got to give Nia Jax a huge amount of credit, because I thought she put on a performance of her life as far as being on the main roster. Ronda Rousey did a hell of a job as well. You got to get Ronda Rousey in some more matches, because this idea, this aura that she has a match every month or two, so that gives her 2 months to prepare for the match over and 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 over again. We need to see her more on a regular basis. As far as cashing in tonight, if anybody has been listening to my show and predictions and stuff like that, I thought Natty would win the briefcase and Natty would cash in against Nia tonight. So I had the right idea, just not the right person. But and a lot of other people as well. I think a lot of people predicted that there was going to be a cash-in on Nia tonight. I think just we all thought it was going to be Natty. And I'm a little surprised that he didn't go that route, because that would make sense in the storyline with Natty and Ronda Rousey. Because think about it. Who actually could possibly put on a better match with Ronda Rousey right now? Natty, the veteran? Wouldn't the storyline make sense? She's backstabbing her friend. Maybe they want to save that for WrestleMania. I don't know. Will they have Natty versus Rousey? I doubt it. I know a lot of people think she's going to close it out with, you know, Asuka or something, and fine. But I'm a little surprised they didn't go that route. But then again, they don't want Natty to be women's champion right now. So if you were in, you know, set on taking the belt off of Nia, but you do realize one thing, and then we'll move on. You're back to where we were before WrestleMania. You had that whole gigantic storyline of Alexa Bliss being a bully and making fun of Nia Jax to the point where she's crying and everything. And now we're all those months later, and you have Alexa Bliss with the belt once again, and where everybody's cheering. Think about that. They were cheering more because of the surprise than her actually getting the belt. So anyway, with that said, and we already did 20-some-odd minutes, so I'm kind of happy. And this is what I like about doing about these recaps. Like I said, we'll get into match-by-match results, and I'll give a couple of little comments here and there on all the matches. But, you know, it's I like being able to just do an overall rant and then just fill in the stuff. Because, again, anybody out there could fucking read match results and, you know, come on. So anyway, Money in the Bank pay-per-view, Allstate Arena, Chicago, Illinois. Pre-show, a lot of us were reading online it was going to be Asuka versus Carmella in the pre-show. Oh, and we didn't even talk about James Ellsworth. You know, it's really, really funny tonight to go on Twitter and see that James Ellsworth is getting tweet about the most. Well, Ronda Rousey's now surpassed him. But he's blown away the tweets over Roman Reigns and blown away the tweets over others, even Nakamura and AJ Styles. And I understand people are like, well, we haven't seen James Ellsworth and this and that. We talked about it on Monday. There was a lot of rumors he was going to come back. WWE's really gone out of their fucking way to erase James Ellsworth from the career of Carmella, if you paid notice in the last X amount of months. So it was very surprising to see him brought back tonight. But I loved it. I thought it was funny. You know, as far as storyline stupidity, I will talk about something I didn't like about it, but it's just me being nitpicking, and I think everybody out there will agree what I say later. But before anything, the pre-show match tonight was the Bludgeon Brothers retaining the title over the Good Brothers. It was your typical, you know, pre-show match. You know, it was fun as long as it lasted. Nothing major coming out of it. You know, the Bludgeon Brothers hit their move on Gallows and got the 1-2-3. It was interesting because they were hyping up Ronda Rousey before the pay-per-view started. And they were talking about UFC, and it was David Otunga, Peter Rosenberg, Booker T, and Renee Young. And it was interesting because they were talking a little bit about UFC and Ronda Rousey and everything, and Booker T name-dropped CM Punk. Basically, you know, that it's not easy to transition from wrestling to UFC, and CM Punk tried and it didn't work out. Well, it was 8 seconds. You know, how much you get to say in 8 seconds? But it was long enough that people on the computer going, oh my God, I can't believe he name dropped CM Punk. Why not? You know, it was what it was. I mean, you know, whatever. But anyway, we open up the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Daniel Bryan over Big Cass. Yes, Locke, Big Cass admits once again. You know, I don't know where they go with Big Cass with this. And I know a lot of people tonight were a little annoyed. Daniel Bryan opening up the pay-per-view, he should be headlining it, main eventing it. Come on, the guy's not back all that long. I don't think people really realize it's only been a little over 2 months. Plus, his contract ends soon. And, you know, I think some people are starting to think about it and saying, is WWE just going slow with Daniel Bryan, just taking a cautious approach, you know, not going balls out with him and, you know, making sure that he's back, you know, for good and, you know, he hasn't had any complications? Or are they just having lower profile matches because they don't know what his future is going to be in the WWE. It could be a combination of both. But all I know is that Big Cass comes back from injury. Yes, he got a little bit of heat because of what happened with that segment that time with the midget, the fucking whatever. I mean, still, to have him lose to Daniel Bryan by submission tonight, I just thought was a mistake. I mean, Big Cass, they're playing. You know, I understand the PSAs. And the big one is bullying, bullying. You've been bullied. Oh, you've been bullied. Don't bully me. Bully, bully, bully. That's all WWE. Bully, 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 bully. PSA announcements all fucking across the board. Are we continuing the PSA announcement that a little man can beat a big man? Fine, okay? But you're fucking Big Cass's career up in the process. And yeah, it's only two matches, and sure, he could turn it around. He's very, very young, and he's still learning. So Big Cass, to me, has shelf life. I think people tonight that are saying that, oh, his career is done, you know, I don't know if you're just trying to get noticed on Twitter, or you're just stupid, or you really just, you could be right. I don't know, but I just, why not have him lose by disqualification? Let him fucking do something to Daniel Bryan and not let go. Do a power move. Do something. You know, dude, I don't like the tapping out twice. I just disagreed with it. No problem with Daniel Bryan winning, but I wouldn't have done it the way they did. Next, we got Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. You know, I don't know, man. I mean, both of them tried in the storyline. They were trying, as I said, for quite some time now, they were trying to take chicken shit and turning it into chicken salad. And the payoff after all of this was a 6-minute match. And, you know, at one point it was interesting because it felt like Lashley, the robot, was in the ring. And what I mean by that was he did his, you know, his one-arm suplex. Then right after that, he did kind of like I guess he was trying to do a little bit of a backbreaker to Sami Zayn, and he tosses him down like a sack of potatoes. And then the fans are chanting, one more time, so he picks him up again. But then after he drops him, he does the same fucking backbreaker. It was like the same combination of moves in a row. So it just felt like that he, in his mind, had to set certain moves that he had to do, and he wasn't deviating from it. But the end result is Bobby Lashley hitting, three suplexes onto Sami Zayn. And if you remember the storyline, Sami Zayn claimed that he got vertigo because of the vertical suplex a few weeks back. So the third one pretty much knocked him out. Bobby Lashley wins. Very uneventful match. You know, it was what it was. You know, I don't want to say it was the worst match in the night, but for 6 minutes after all of that, I don't know. I didn't like it at all, to be honest with you. Next, we have Seth Rollins retaining the IC Championship over Elias. This match was great. WWE focused on a certain combination of offense that Elias did during the match. Basically threw Seth out of the ring, threw him into the corner post, threw him into the steps, you know, did like three power moves in a row. And then he did the elbow off the top rope, very reminiscent of Macho Man, for a 2 count. But for the most part, they were playing up that Seth injured his knee during a match, and he was selling the knee injury as he was doing moves and everything. And I think at some points, a lot of people out there thought Elias was getting this championship. A lot of people think that maybe Seth Rollins should be the one to take the title off of Brock Lesnar. It's fucking piss poor, pathetic garbage that Brock Lesnar is not defending this title. And I'm not going to get into a whole full-blown rant tonight. I've done it on a DTKC show. I've done it on Breakfast with Blasi, Breakfast Soup. I've beat it to death. But the one thing I think people need to remember repeatedly is that this is not Brock Lesnar's fault. This is WWE's fault. When you say, oh, he doesn't show up to work, the fuck are you smoking? All right, he's got a contract. He's got certain specific dates that WWE wants him to perform. He has X amount of dates in his contract, and WWE has decided to fucking use him this way. you know, I brought this up countless times in the past, but I'll bring it up again because I think this is the best way to describe it. Do you fucking think that Brock Lesnar is just going to show up on a Monday Night Raw, unadvertised, not even scheduled to be there, and he goes in the back and he goes up to Vince and say, hey, man, you know, I know I'm not booked tonight, and I know it's not in my appearances, but, you know, I am the champion, and, you know, I haven't defended in a while, so this one's on me. This one's on the house. Throw me out there. I'll fucking defend the title for free. No! Come on, this is a fucking professional company. He fucking shows up at WWE, tells him, Brock, we need you to be... They have this fucking belt on them, and by the time somebody fucking takes the belt off of them, it's going to take away so much of the luster. You know, I know it's a horrible way to compare it, but I remember as a kid, Bob Backlund, being a champion in 1983. All right, he had that belt for about 5 years, and I went to the Garden all the time with my friends back then. We used to go to Ridgewood Grove Arenas and other places as well. And Backlund, you go back and you watch his matches. The guy was insanely over by the crowd, especially MSG. They fucking would go crazy for this guy. But I remember in late 82, early 83, that fans started to feel like, all right, when is this fucking belt going to go off of him? And then he was having matches with Slaughter and Koloff and others. And, you know, they would result in DQs and countouts. And fans started to get a little bit, you know, angry at it. And I remember Backlund specifically getting DQ'd and against Slaughter. And he just went nuts and he snapped. And this was the way to try to prolong the championship run a little bit further. And it got to the point at the end where when he lost it, sure, it was a surprise, Iron Sheik thrown in the towel. You know, I don't think anybody expected it that night. But the point is that towards the end, people were like, finally, finally. So when that belt goes off of Brock Lesnar, I think a lot of people are going to pop at the fact that WWE finally took the belt off of him, not necessarily who is winning the belt. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's not that people are popping that he lost. People are popping that WWE finally fucking took the belt off this guy. But it ain't his fault. This is WWE's fault. It's pathetic. It's embarrassing. But they know that diehard fans are going to tune in anyway. You know, how many people really say, Brock Lesnar defend the title? I ain't watching. Really? Seriously? But this is fucking pathetic. And again, the person who won the briefcase tonight, I can mention it now, Braun Strowman, did he really need the fucking briefcase? Think about it. Did he really need the briefcase? You know, you just think it's storyline purposes. You know, why don't they just have him announce a match of him versus Brock Lesnar? You kind of feel like Braun Strowman is going to be the heir apparent for the title. And you almost feel like it may not necessarily even be an announced match, that maybe Brock Lesnar is going to be on a show, get laid out, and then Braun Strowman cashes in. And it could be a Raw, for all we know. It could be a pay-per-view. But you almost feel like it just might be a completely unannounced, you know, just cash in randomly and getting the title off of him. And, you know, I don't know. I have no problem with Braun Strowman winning, but when you actually take a step back, did he really need the briefcase? Makes me think that that's the easy way out to get him to win possibly the championship without building up a storyline, without leading it to a particular specific pay-per-view. I mean, who knows? It could be completely different. I mean, you announce tomorrow Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. I don't think anybody's going to complain. I don't think anybody would say he didn't deserve it. So why the briefcase? Something else is going to happen, in my opinion. Seth Rollins, as I said, once again, retains the IC Championship over Elias. A very fun match back and forth. Again, a lot of people thought that maybe Elias getting this belt would lead to Seth Rollins possibly fighting Brock Lesnar for the title. As of now, it doesn't look like that's the case. So we'll see what happens. But the match went almost 20 minutes. It was a lot of fun. Fans were chanting, this is awesome, at certain points of it. I thought it was great. And, you know, I would arguably say it could be match of the night. So now we get to the women's Money in a Bank ladder match. And as I've talked about before, we already know who won. It was Alexa Bliss. The match did not last as long as I think some people thought. It only went about 18 minutes. And you also, you know, count the fact that there were moments where people were laid out, this and that. There were some timing issues. I mean, there was some problems, and I know, you know, some people may think it's nitpicking, but the whole focus of the ladder match with the briefcase is somebody climbing the ladder and getting the briefcase. So whatever you do during the match, and unless somebody does an insane, unbelievable spot or somebody gets injured, the moments people get a focus on is when somebody climbs the ladder and attempts to get the briefcase or actually gets the briefcase. And there was a couple of times tonight where somebody climbed the ladder, goes to get the briefcase, and the person who was supposed to knock them off the ladder was either too slow or the person climbed the ladder too fast. And you had one time where Becky Lynch climbs the ladder, and for some reason she's like looking down, and there's nobody there. And then you have another point where Naomi, that was the worst one of them all, Naomi climbs the ladder, and she's up there, and she's trying to unclip it, and it's going on, and it's going on, and it's going on. And it was only for a few seconds, but a few seconds up there could be like an hour. And meanwhile, she's, you know, somebody's supposed to like stop her from getting it, and it really did not look good. The women put on a great performance. You know, you got to understand, you know, even though a lot of people say, oh, women's revolution is this and that, women are not, you know, normally in ladder matches, and men aren't as well, but men have been in ladder matches more than women. Even on, go back on the indie circuit. You know, there's a lot, men have much more experience in ladder matches. So women, it's a little bit new in a lot of cases. I was very happy with Lana's performance. You know, I still laugh, and I really do. I laughed at the people who were venting in anger online that Lana was going to be in this match. I mean, leading up to this pay-per-view, I mean, and a lot of them were heterosexual males, having their balls in a bunch at Lana being in this fucking match. And, you know, number one, I liked how the crowd popped for her tonight. But Lana is not going to all of a sudden be a fucking 4-star in-ring experienced wrestler. You know, she is still green in a lot of ways. But she did not embarrass herself. She did the role that she needed to do tonight. And the crowd was into it. There was one point where, you know, she climbed the ladder and people were popping. And I loved it. Because there have been people online very vocal against her. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. The fuck you got against her? You know, and usually it was heterosexual males doing this. And I'm like, I don't know. Are you just trying to come off as the tough guy in a lot of ways? And the funny thing is that tonight, you know, you saw a lot of them. And I even called this early tonight. You saw a lot of them, you know, complimenting her online as if they never fucking criticized her over and over and over and over and over again. I'm like, you know, are you people out there bipolar or something? Do you have split personalities? You can't fucking rip this person to pieces and criticize her week after week after week and fucking say what the fuck she's doing in it. And then she has a decent performance and you act like, oh, she should have been in it all along. The fuck out of here. So anyway, we have Alexa Bliss winning. I don't think a lot of people expected her to win. Again, I thought it would have been interesting to have Natty win and then cause, you know, some type of fuckery with Ronda Rousey, but it didn't go that route. But you had Alexa Bliss winning the ladder match. So now Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal, really not much for me to add from before other than that Roman Reigns won. Match went on for 15 minutes. Crowd did not like it at all. And it's not just them trolling. They don't like Roman Reigns for the most part on their television. And WWE, and I say this repeatedly, I'll keep saying it, you could make him the opening match, you could make him a dark match, you could have him face the lowest of the low in the card. You could fucking do this for months and months and months. WWE has not deviated with the idea that they think Roman Reigns is one of their biggest stars of the future. All right. And they're not deviating from it. It's not, all right, we tried it. It didn't work out. Let's fucking just, you know, pull the rug back and, you know, just give them mid card and do that for the foreseeable future. No, they're just postponing the inevitable. So every time he's in a match, every time he's in a feud, every time he shows up, to me, it's 1 week closer of the inevitable. And I think fans also believe that deep down inside, and they're very frustrated at it. But you got what you got tonight, and anybody out there that honestly thought that anything different was going to happen is on fucking crack. Seriously. Speaking of crack, Carmella retains the title, pinning Asuka. Jesus Christ. People, I think, were suicidal that Asuka lost tonight. Do you fucking realize, and I've been saying this since WrestleMania, do you realize that they needed to pull back on Asuka and Charlotte because they were so over and above everybody else on that roster that they needed to make it believable that other people could defeat them? That's why Charlotte loses repeatedly. That's why Asuka has lost a couple of times now. Of course, it's not straight up clean finish, hit your finisher and, you know, oh my God, she lost. Of course, they're going to have distractions. Of course, they're going to have fuckery and cheating and stuff like that to try to minimize the complaints that Asuka lost. But if you're still shocked and angry and your balls in a bunch that Charlotte is losing matches and Asuka is losing matches, please go fucking find something else to be a fan of. Because, or you must be either just a younger wrestling fan or just new to wrestling, or you're just a flat out idiot, or you just have nothing else to complain about. Because this is something, I'm not saying that Carmella, you know, everybody expected her to win tonight. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is that, you know, the idea that Asuka is now going to be undefeated again for 8 months, or Charlotte's going to win 90% of her matches. Do you remember I brought up Charlotte's win-loss record from the year before and how many losses she had, how many losses she had to Bayley? People were fucking blown away by the amount of losses that Charlotte had. WWE needs to try to make the playing field seem a little more level. And if it does involve cheating, come on. Edge was the biggest opportunist back then. You'd have wrestlers that would have their titles and retain it over and over and over and over again by cheating or walking out, a DQ, you know, just to count it out. That's just the way it is. So Asuka losing tonight, you know, it's not the end of the world, people. But it was cool to see James Ellsworth back. And for those that don't know, how this match ended was Asuka started to get the upper hand in the match. Then all of a sudden, somebody climbs the ring steps dressed in Asuka's robe and her mask. And Asuka's looking like she just saw a ghost. And I thought it was goofy because it's like, okay, somebody has your mask on, has your robe on. And why are you in a trance? I mean, is somebody holding an urn or something? Like, why are you in a trance? You have your head sideways like a dog. You know, when you say to the dog, you want a biscuit? The dog turns his head a certain way. I mean, why are you in a trance? Somebody's fucking at ringside with it. Now, I know some people out there thought, maybe take the mask off, and maybe it's somebody from her past, and it's going to blah, 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 whatever. But the thing that annoyed me out of all of this was the referee doesn't order the person, get down from the ring. I mean, early you have the referee with his balls in a bunch because one of the Singh brothers is outside the ring, you know, trying to interfere with Roman Reigns. But now you got someone who climbed the steps, who's standing on the apron for about a minute and a half, and the referee is just looking like, oh, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Hey, what's up? Suspension of disbelief, people. Why is the ref telling, get down? What are you doing? Get down. Get down. And then you have Carmella tried to do a roll-up and the referee counts to two, and then Asuka once again is in a trance and the referee's just letting the person stand there. What the fuck? That's the one thing I didn't like about it. Dumb storyline stupidity. But the person lifted the mask to reveal it was James Ellsworth, got a tremendous pop from the crowd. I know a lot of people are like, well, you remember how, you know, Carmella ditched Ellsworth? If anything, Ellsworth should have helped Asuka defeat Carmella. I understand that. But you know what? He's back. It's cool. He's very likable. I'm happy that he's back. I'm happy the crowd popped. And honestly, to me, that was WWE saying, Carmella as the champion, you could only yell so much and you could only do so many moonwalks and you could only, there's only so many times you could scream and walk out of the ring. They want her to hold that title for an extended period of time. They need someone to take the focus off of Carmella. And honestly, that's what they did with Ellsworth. Now, for all we know, it might be a very short period of time. Maybe she kicks him to the curb in a week. We don't know. But obviously, they needed to take the focus off of her. And the focus off the fact that she's a champion. And, you know, look, it was at many points tonight, it was very hard to have a suspension of disbelief that Carmella could be beating down Asuka the way she was. If you actually paid attention to Carmella's attempted submission moves and everything, it looked ridiculously stupid. You know, just because Asuka's pulling her head back and you see the way the arms were like that, I could do that on a fucking 98-year-old woman with fragile bones with osteoporosis, and I don't think she would have went ouch once. So, you know, sometimes a visual might look okay, but when you actually look at it, it's pretty dumb. So anyway, so Carmella retains the title. Next, AJ Styles retaining the belt against Shinsuke. Match ended with AJ doing a dive off the apron onto Nakamura through a table. We had your nut shots that were expected. I thought it was a great match. I think a lot of people forgot, you know, how many times a referee's going to try to count to 10 in the last man standing match. But, you know, it really told a great story. I liked it. I know a lot of people thought Nakamura was going to take this. I know a lot of people think, okay, what's next for Nakamura? All right. One thing is for sure, Nakamura needs some wins and needs them fast. Maybe you haven't beat Jeff Hardy. You need to do something with Nakamura and fast. This storyline with AJ Styles, I think, needs to be put aside. They've had a lot of matches. They've had a lot of stipulations. All right, let's move on from it. But Nakamura needs to get a different storyline, a good one, and fast, in my honest opinion. Who will AJ Styles feud with next? I don't know. I'm hoping it's Samoa Joe. I think it actually would be a really cool feud to see in the WWE, and we'll see what happens. The match went 30 minutes. So WWE let them tell a story, and it needed to go long because of the excessive amounts of, you know, referee counting during it. But it really told the story it needed to tell, and I thought it was great. And again, I would have no problem with that match closing out the pay-per-view. Nia Jax, once again, versus Ronda Rousey. I already talked about most of this earlier in the show. Ronda Rousey officially defeats Nia Jax by disqualification. You know, the most of this match was telling the story of Nia's size really, you know, overtaking Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey couldn't get any momentum and Nia hitting her power moves. And again, Nia, to me, told the best story that she's ever told on the main roster. It's the way that they should have done with her in the past as well. But at one point, Ronda Rousey, we thought was going to possibly get the submission move. Alexa Bliss hits the ring with the briefcase, whacks Ronda Rousey with it. Referee immediately calls for the bell. Alexa Bliss repeatedly hitting Ronda Rousey with the briefcase, hitting Nia Jax with the briefcase. Ronda Rousey is laid out outside from the briefcase shot, so Alexa Bliss cashes in the briefcase, and she defeats Nia. A very short amount of time, which is usually how that happens. I mean, it was like 30-some-odd seconds. And again, people popping more of the element of surprise than actually, you know, who won. I think if anything, people thought it would be Sasha Banks or somebody else. Or again, like I said, you know, I a lot of people thought it was going to be Cashin tonight, including me. But thought it would have been Natty, and I thought it would have made more sense. But obviously, they did not want Natty to be the champion. So we now have Alexa Bliss once again as the champion, and we're really back where we were, you know, 6 months or so ago. And finally, main event tonight, Braun Strowman winning the Money in the Bank ladder match. Participants were Finn Balor, Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Kofi Kingston. You know, it was what it was. The match went a lot shorter than I thought that it would have gone. It went 20 minutes. I mean, you had certain spots here and there, nothing really memorable coming out of it. you know, Finn Balor, at some points, we thought Finn Balor could be the one taking this. Kofi Kingston, you know, putting on the performance he always does. He's a very safe person to put in the money in the bank. But again, your winner, Braun Strowman. I know a lot of other people thought Miz had the chance. I mean, again, you know, I thought Big E should have been in that match, and I thought Big E would have benefited the most with the briefcase. But keep in mind now that you have neither person from SmackDown with a briefcase now. All right, you have Braun Strowman with a briefcase. Did Braun Strowman need the briefcase? You kind of feel that Braun Strowman has this briefcase, so if Brock Lesnar is ever laid out, whether it's a Raw, whether it's a house show, whether it's a pay-per-view, that Braun Strowman could possibly just cash in and was probably have some teasing as well, but not as much teasing as you think because Brock Lesnar is not a regular on television. So, you know, if you had him on TV week after week after week, you could tease Braun Strowman going out there and possibly cashing in and then not cashing in. I mean, you look how many times Carmella did that during the entire time she had the briefcase. But this kind of feels like when they're ready to just say, all right, let's get the belt off of Brock Lesnar and all right, well, Braun cashing. You know, Braun, they could set up a pay-per-view match whenever they want. He didn't need the briefcase. So, you know, it's a little strange, you know, to see how it went down. But overall, the pay-per-view was not bad. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a solid 7. The men's Money in the Bank ladder match is not going to be one of the more memorable ones. You know, I'm sure maybe a lot of people liked it because of Strowman winning it, but it really is not going to stand out as anything really memorable when we look back on it years from now. Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey was a lot of fun, but I got to see more of Ronda Rousey now. Told a wonderful story, but again, you have a month, 6 weeks or so to train over and over and over again against one opponent. You know, you get it down pat. We now have to see her more in the ring. It doesn't have to be every week, but we need to have some matches with her on TV. But I thought they both told a great story, and kudos. It really did deliver. I'll be honest, it really did deliver. You go back and you look at AJ Styles versus Nakamura. I thought that was an excellent match. The women's Money in the Bank match was good, very good. You know, not excellent. I mean, it hasn't been too many of these matches that they've had, so you really can't compare it to much, but they did put on a great performance. Did get sloppy at some points. And again, Naomi at the top of the ladder was difficult. I mean, little thing like that blows a lot of the suspension of disbelief. Carmella versus Asuka was what it was, but it was cool to see James Ellsworth back. Roman Reigns versus Jinder Mahal really was the only forgettable match, in my opinion. And then you had, you know, Elias versus Seth Rollins, which was excellent. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn was a dud, but you know, hopefully that storyline is over. Daniel Bryan versus Kaz, though, was a great story. The crowd was really into it, and the crowd was great. And the dark match was your typical dark match or pre-show match. So, yeah, I give it a solid 7. I don't think many people will disagree in a lot of what I said tonight. Maybe some people will be insulted at some of my criticism. But it's just my opinion. But I think people will agree with almost everything that I said. But I don't know. Tell me what you think about it. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD, the website DonTony.com. Email me DonTony@DonTony.com, Facebook.com/DTKC Show. Once again, if you like what we do and you want to help support the shows, help us keep the bills paid and the shows free for everyone, Patreon.com/DonTony. Not only do we have pay-per-view predictions contest there, giveaways. We just did 2 giveaways this weekend, but we have Patreon-exclusive podcast there. Mish of Wrestling Soup and I just did a 4.5-hour episode of Breakfast Soup this past Wednesday. 4.5 hours. Fucking awesome episode. Everybody's raving about it. There's hundreds of hours of content there. They're exclusive for our patrons. Kevin Castle does a solo show there as well. There's so much content there, you'll have a ball. $5, you get it all. Patreon.com/DonTony. And by the way, just a reminder, episode 24 of This Week in Wrestling History will be posted for everyone Tuesday morning. It's already on Patreon. We always put it up a couple of days early for the Patreon. So if you want to go check it out, by all means do so. That episode's, I think, 3.5 hours. And there's like 22 audio clips from yesteryear in there as well. So it really was a kick-ass show this week too. So, all right, everyone, I'm out here. Enjoy the rest of the week. And don't forget, this Wednesday, the 20th, I will be back with your next edition of Breakfast with Blasi. Take care, everyone. Be well. Talk to you all soon. Ciao.